right, episode 47. We're back, Rob.
47.
I know, it's exciting.
It's rocking, is what it is.
47 is rocking. What are we going to do for number 50? Isn't that like an anniversary thing? Like 50. Hit 50.
Well, it's going to be my birthday podcast.
Okay. Your birthday podcast? Okay. Yeah. We'll do it on your birthday. You'll have to phone in from wherever you are, unless you're working on your birthday. I don't even know.
I don't even know what day it
is. Yeah, I don't know. Well, you're trying not to think about it. I know. I feel the same way.
Trying not to think about it.
All right, episode 47. On a previous podcast, we talked about things that get us going creatively, and how music is such a driving force in the studio here, and just in everyone's lives, right? I mean, outside of just advertising and design and whatnot, music is awesome, and we all love music, right? So the interesting idea we came up with for today was sort of the idea of marketing music, right? And everything related to music, sort of bands, singers, whatever the case may be, album covers, that sort of interesting topic of, you know, music and marketing and how do those things go together, right?
Yeah, I mean, it covers a lot, right?
Yeah.
We could talk about design as it relates to music. We can talk about all kinds of things. Marketing strategies. How do you distribute music and do all that kind of thing?
Well, and it's changed a lot over the years, obviously.
No, it hasn't. It's stayed exactly the same since the dawn of time.
Yeah, the musicians make the least amount of money and everybody else makes the most.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I'm going to launch right into it.
Yeah, go for it.
I think about, for me, when I think about marketing music, for me personally, I think the thing that first, I guess, affected me from a marketing standpoint that I really latched onto was Metallica stuff.
Okay.
And I say that because, you know, when I was in middle school and then high school, it was in their heyday. The band's heyday,
I'm going to interrupt you and say that the Metallica today is different than the Metallica that you're about to tell a story about. So we need some date ranges on here.
This was back in the mid-80s, yeah. Right? 84, okay. 83, yeah. 84, 85.
Okay. This is the good Metallica.
Yeah, this is the good Metallica.
Not the grandfather.
But really, for me, the marketing was about the merch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally.
It was all about the merch.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, you started to see this rise of thrash metal and sort of San Francisco metal kind of coming into the mainstream. And it started this cool trend, I thought, so you had Metallica and you had all the creatures, right, on all their shirts and all their merch.
Do you remember the name of the artist that did a lot of that artwork?
No.
Pusshead. Yeah.
Yep.
Pusshead. Just like Derek Riggs is the Iron Maiden
famous
artist. Pusshead back in the 80s was the Metallica guy.
Yeah. And it was like, I mean, much to my mother's chagrin at the time, my collection of Metallica shirts
with
just the most outlandish stuff on them, to me, was so cool.
And it's skull heavy.
Well, it was skull heavy and it was just marketing. It was, to me, it was the perfect visual representation of the music.
Yeah.
Like it aligned so well, everything that they were doing.
True.
That really resonated with me.
I would say for the 80s too, like, I mean, this is definitely a biased opinion, so take that for what it's worth. But I would say one of the most successful bands to never have any radio play. Now we think of Metallica, and they were on MTV, the Black Album they had, you know. But pre-Black Album, right, I mean, they sold tens of millions of albums worldwide, toured all the time, nary a lick of play on any radio station anywhere in the world, right? Then they chill out, they do the Black Album in the early 90s, and they're on MTV all the time, and they're on, I mean, now they're on the radio constantly, right? But before that, pre-era of Metallica, incredibly successful.
Well, I think
just word of mouth and almost like tape swapping. Remember you used to make tapes and like trade tapes with your friends and stuff?
You know, man.
Yeah.
But I think because everything is cyclical, you had back then, they were touring machines.
I mean,
and they would just tour. I mean, I don't know.
300 days a year.
300 days a year, 300 nights a year.
Easy.
And that's where they made all their money and built their following, right? Is tour, 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 and merch.
Totally.
Well, that's kind of come back around now.
Yeah, I know.
Right? Because of the way distribution and Spotify and the rise of digital music and how little artists get paid, that now they're back to relying on touring and merch to make the money.
Yeah. Well, we sound like old folks here, but...
Yeah.
Well, you know, a concert ticket was $15 and a t-shirt was a t-shirt even $20? No, it was like $15.
25.
Yeah,
maybe,
$20.
Maybe 20.
I mean, now, I mean, have you bought a concert tee now? Dude, they're like $50.
No, the last one I bought was when you and I think were at Iron Maiden.
Yeah, $50.
And I was like,
easy, right?
Maybe $60.
Yeah,
that was a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it's
a
crappy, like, it's not even a soft shirt. It's like the hardest,
horrible printed,
scratchy, you know,
chafes the nips.
You know, and I mean, concert tickets. I mean, we just had, you know, the Ticketmaster, Taylor Swift debacle, whole, I mean, just tickets.
I bought
in
Taylor
general.
Swift tickets.
I know you did. The tickets are absolutely, you know, the only way artists, I think, are making money now is live performances, the tickets, and the merch. I know that spins on the radio is making them anything.
No. I mean, what they get paid off of Spotify is 0.000 whatever percent.
Agreed.
But I did see recently, speaking of ticket sales, that you know, The Cure is going back on tour.
Yes, I did hear this.
And Robert Smith somehow convinced Ticketmaster to like give a refund.
Back off on the fees.
Yeah, so everybody got like a $10 refund on the fees, which Pearl Jam couldn't do it.
No.
Leave it to Robert Smith from The Cure.
So random.
To get it done. So that's, I guess, a step in the right direction.
We're in the weird everything. You said everything's cyclical. We're going back to the future, right? I mean, like Duran Duran's coming out on concert, you know, on tour again. Yeah. I think Depeche Mode is there. I mean, it's like this crazy 80s heyday as things are coming back around again.
I would go see The Cure in a second. I would go see all three of those bands.
Yeah, me too.
I saw Duran Duran at Chastain Park.
How old are those guys now? I mean,
all those guys?
They're not in their 70s yet, are they?
No. I don't think they're in their 70s, but they got to be
mid 60s.
Late 50s, maybe?
Yeah.
Like that. But also, I want to mention, because we mentioned the horribly printed Iron Maiden shirts. That's another band that has marketed themselves amazingly well. And to the point where it's Eddie is the central figure of their entire catalog.
Yeah, we just did a podcast on mascots, and there's the mascot for
Yeah, I mean, they're bringing out the oversized Eddie on the stage and sword fighting and fires, and it's the most...
If you've never
been to an Iron Maiden show, do yourself a favor. Yeah. You don't have to love the music.
No,
go for the spectacle.
It's a theatrical performance.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the Book of Souls tour. Remember, he reaches in and pulls out the beating heart.
Oh yeah,
and it's like, I mean, it's like light lit up on. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible. The theatrical production alone. I think we both took our daughters. So we're like, what the F is going on here?
Right.
Just because it's a visual spectacle to say the least. So.
Yeah.
Well, let me jump in here too. I think when I think about bands in general, I'm coming at it from marketing music. I think about it from a design perspective. And you mentioned we could talk about it from a design perspective. One thing I noted is that, you know, it's interesting how in our day I went to Tower Records, Rainbow Records, whatever. And you go and you flip through everything. And the album cover needs to sell the band, right?
Yep.
And it's what made Led Zeppelin so interesting. And that I don't even know what I'm looking at here. This is totally like contextually non-relevant to the music whatsoever. I mean, like, you know. But I think, you know, music has transitioned over the years to, well, the album cover does start to fall in line with the genre of music, right? And I think about the Blue Note jazz albums and that library of jazz, right? Doesn't matter if we're talking about any specific jazz musician, they all kind of have that same look and feel, and they all marched in that same sort of album front cover design, which I thought was actually pretty cool.
Right? Yeah, it was a good look.
Yeah, and so, you know, Blue Note has definitely a cool look and feel for their library, their catalog of music, their musicians. You know, so jazz has its own kind of look. You had mentioned metal. I mean, metal definitely has its own genre of look, you know? It's like, hey, this is what you're about to listen to, right? So I think that that's kind of interesting how, you know, music has sort of self-profiled itself. I think even hip-hop and rap, right? I mean, it has kind of its own interesting look and feel for, you know, new artists and that sort of genre-based music. Country, I have no idea. I don't know a lot about country, so I'll just throw that out there. I mean, I don't, you know. It seems like it's a lot of photography of the artist. Right?
I mean, I think so. As a generalization, I don't really know either, but.
Yeah. I mean, I know old.
But
like,
even
Johnny
in Americana, kind of like that sort of, which I guess is kind of country. It's more just sort of American folk kind of genre.
Yeah.
It's very much about the image of the artist oftentimes.
I think, but like metal, for example, it's like, no one cares what anybody looks like. They're on the back of the album or they're on the inside.
The best thing about metal was, again, I'm going to go back to Metallica because I think when they came out with that funky typeface logo that they have, from that started a trend.
Yeah.
It's an interesting design trend. It was how
illegible.
Illegible.
Yeah.
Can we make our logo?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you had like Metallica, then you had like Cannibal Corpse.
Yeah, Napalm
Death. Exodus doing weird stuff. And then it went to just like I don't even know what I'm looking at.
Yeah.
I'm looking at like a bug splat.
It looks like chicken scratch, you know.
Yeah.
But that directly correlates to how terrible that that part of metal is. I mean, there's that like I can't no one can
it's
listen
just
to
guttural,
that.
Guttural screaming.
Yeah, it's just 6 minutes of double bass and horrible, horrible screaming with voice effects. So yeah, it's great. It's funny. You mentioned Iron Maiden earlier, who definitely one of my favorite bands ever. And I would argue that as aggressive of a look and feel that they have does not correlate to their music. Their music is very operatic and almost corny and cheesy, right? At times, right? I mean, it's
over the top.
Yeah, I mean, it's way less like distortion and metal and Metallica. But you think like if you look at an Iron Maiden album cover, you'd be like, oh my God, these guys, it's like
I'm about to get hit over the head with a sledgehammer.
And it's very like, whoa. Like crazy, horrible, well, I shouldn't say horrible, but like operatic music, right?
That,
you know, talking about Winslow Homer, you know, poems and crazy stuff, right? Yet it doesn't, you know, but their look and feel is so aggressive and, you know, devils and things. It's so funny. So, but I actually secretly love that they don't look like what they sound like, which is interesting. So
I think too, going back to just album covers, and it is. I don't want to say a lost art, but if you go back and look at the 60s and the 70s, and even before that, when it was, I mean, that was the visual representation of the band. And to your point, that's what had to sell oftentimes the music.
For sure.
And you go and you think about the contrast in something like the Beatles, like the White Album. I mean, there's nothing on it.
There's nothing on there. Yeah.
But then you also had...
Beatles are all over the place, though.
They're all over the place.
Because the Butcher album, I mean, think about that. That thing's insane.
But
like, you could never do that today.
Well, even Revolver. I mean, it's a different, But I think that also, too, that was the heyday where it was, you know, you think about the Rolling Stones and about Sticky Fingers.
Great album covers.
Yeah, we've got Andy Warhol.
Yeah.
We're hiring like the world's top artists.
Totally.
To do the album covers.
Great call.
Putting an actual zipper on the front of the album.
Yeah.
Like it became just a really cool thing. And I think to your point, it was like the genre didn't necessarily matter.
Yeah.
To the album cover design.
Yeah.
And it oftentimes didn't link up.
Yeah.
But that was just a great, you know, you'd think about like, the guy here in Atlanta, Flournoy Holmes, did Eat a Peach, the famous Allman Brothers album.
Totally.
And he's kind of renowned for just his eccentric album cover art.
Absolutely.
Which is super fun. But it's coming back. I mean, and again, cyclical. Vinyl is back now.
Yeah.
Now it's all there. I mean, you can go to Sonos and buy a $1,500 record player.
Yeah. Well, the more things change, the more they stay the same, right? Yeah. But it was a big, I mean, a vinyl record is a big piece. It's a big canvas. It's a big thing you're holding, right?
Yeah.
Then we shrink it all the way down to tape cassettes. I mean, what is that, like 3 inches? Yeah. Like, it's terrible.
It's like 3x5.
Right? So we used to have these amazing fine artists doing these amazing album covers where you would pop the record in and stare at that album cover while you're listening. You know, then you got this crappy little tape where, like, you can't see any of the detail over. And then it's like, oh, even worse, let's shove that onto an iPod.
Yeah.
You know, and then we had that whole
We had the CD kit. We had CDs.
Well, we do have CDs.
They were too small. They were like, you know what? Let's give it a little bit more real estate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then they put them in that weird, horrible plastic
packaging
that was in the store.
Yeah, it made no sense whatsoever.
No sense.
Yeah. But, you know, I think the canvas size, and then now everything's digital and you don't even look at it on Spotify or on your iPod or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The appreciation for the fine artistry of albums, I think, is definitely coming back around again, which I think is cool.
Well, speaking of iPods, you had, you know, people tried all different kinds of things. And it was, do you remember when, God bless them, you two and their, themselves, when it was, hey, you're going to buy an iPod.
Yeah.
The album's on it.
Like, yeah, surprise.
Like, surprise. Yeah. You get the, lucky you got the...
Yeah, I remember everybody jammed their iPods with all their favorite albums, right? That they had either ripped off of Napster or LimeWire, whatever, right? And then all of a sudden, you woke up the next day and it was, a U2 album has been shoved down your throat.
I guess I wanted the U2 album.
Yeah, and it was like, I don't have room for this, you know? So couldn't tell you the name of that album. No clue.
No.
I think they've come out and said, in retrospect, that was a bad idea. That was a bad idea.
Yeah. But they'll try out a different thing. I mean, then it was, you had like... you know, Radiohead's, they've gone out and just given their album for free and done the, hey, pay whatever you think is reasonable.
Absolutely. Trent Reznor's done the same thing where it's from Nine Inch Nails, where it's, hey, here's all the bass tracks.
Oh, yeah, songs. I remember that. Yeah, mix
your own versions of my song. I want to hear what the public does with my songs.
Which is super cool.
I think that's super cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how you make any money doing that anymore, but I guess you're already established.
All you're doing is promoting yourself and all your other albums, but, you know, by doing it that way.
Yeah, for sure.
I think Radiohead only did that once. And they were like, oh, wait.
Yeah, hold on a second.
So, maybe we shouldn't do that.
It should be noted, actually, that one of our clients is a musician company as well.
Yeah.
And we do a lot of album covers for that. And we do have to take into account that, you know, you are going to be browsing for things online. And you're going to see, you know, when we design an album cover, we have many different music catalogs we work with. You have to consider you're only going to see it like 1 inch big. Through a browser, right? And what does that do? Well, how does that impact the album cover when you're sort of scrolling and looking for thematically related music, you know? So something to consider, something interesting to think about, you know, as it relates to marketing music. And, you know, and that particular client is marketing music to people like us, right? I mean,
licensing music.
Yeah, licensing music that could be in commercials or radio, TV, film, and their music is in all that stuff, which is pretty cool, so...
Now it's all about the collab too, right? Especially if you think about hip hop and it's you pay Snoop, you know, $500,000 to be on one of your tracks.
Oh, totally.
And so it's all about the sort of collab.
Yeah.
The collab thing. So people are finding a lot of different ways to make money in the music industry. Very interesting.
Yeah, I think it's cool though how everything has sort of genred themselves into their own look and feel too, which I, you know, from a design perspective, is pretty neat.
Yeah, so. Although I think I prefer the wide open, just
wide open canvas.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, I've got my, you know, I've got my father's record collection in my office on display, and I just swap out the vinyl from time to time just to see the different artwork because it's so outlandish and out there.
Yeah, it's the old big old stuff is awesome. You know, the touch. I'm a touchy feely.
Yeah,
you know, there's definitely something to be fun for somebody to be found for that. You know, it's the touchy feely.
Yeah,
I'm holding a record.
Or when you had the vinyl, and it was like bonus poster. I mean, there's a full poster inside the sleeve. It's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it was good stuff. And then you went through the phase. I think about like, and then it was, you know, I mean, in CDs, the big thing was, all right, we're publishing all the lyrics,
the liner notes.
We're doing liner notes.
Game changer.
Lyrics to every single song. Here you go.
Yeah. I used to run home after buying a CD and then listen to the CD while reading along at home.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like figuring out what the songs are about and stuff like that.
Well, so, when you were listening to Gorgoroth back then, the internet wasn't around, so you couldn't look up the lyrics.
Humongous.
The only place you could get them.
Yeah. I mean, I was running the Gorgoroth fanzine.
Yeah.
You know, taking submissions. I had a PO box.
Still the president or did you?
I had to relinquish the throne.
The throne.
Yeah. Once I had kids, I had to give up Gorgoroth. So.
What was it? Yeah. They should do a Kids Bop. Remember Kids Bop?
Vaguely.
It's like kid versions of popular songs.
Oh, what?
You don't remember that?
No.
Oh, yeah. They did like Kids Bop, and it was all the top radio hits, but sung by like children.
Oh, God. I don't know that.
Marketed to kids.
Yeah. My wife
and
I.
They should do that for Gorgoroth, is my point.
Well, how about a little Sepultura? Throw that in there, right?
So funny quick anecdote. In my car, on my phone, I have somehow in iTunes, I have 30,000 songs from like basically my entire life. Like I have no idea how all of these songs are collected and aggregated. Maybe they're in a cloud. I don't know.
The magic of iTunes.
The magic of iTunes.
Yeah.
So in my car, I still have all of the, I just play on random.
All the songs that when your kids were little?
For when my kids were little.
Oh no.
So, I mean.
You brush your teeth.
So one of my favorite things is I'll be driving with somebody and one of them will come on and it's, you know, The Farmer in the Dell or whatever it is.
Yeah. Baby
and
Beluga.
I won't make a comment. I'll just, you know, if I'm riding with buddies and that just drops.
Yeah.
And the look you get is, that's creepy.
I used to go back and forth with my wife all the time. And why are we listening to Rafi? We should just be listening to Bob Marley or something else instead.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. So. I'm with you.
But hey, you know, classical music with kids, it played a role. So.
Anyway, all right, good stuff. Yep. Good chat. Go out and see live music, people.
Yeah,
that's a great thing to do.
Yeah.
Gets the creative juices flowing
for
and it's just a fun thing to do.
For sure.
So get out there and listen to tunes.
All right, where can the people find us, Mr. O?
On the interwebs at mocktheagency.com, of course, and on the socials at mocktheagency.
Cool.
Drop us a note, tell us your favorite album cover design.
There you go. That'd be cool.
Or your favorite band.
Yeah, I'm into it. Do it, peeps.
All right.
All right, thanks.
We'll talk at you next time. Mock the Podcast.